Just so that you kind of look at the word itself, do you see the word reign in the middle of that? So it kind of gives you an idea what it's talking about. Who reigns? A king reigns. So it's speaking of his kingly authority, right? So he has authority over the universe. All right, would we all agree with that? Authority over the universe. And his particular kingship over men who willfully acknowledge him as king. So that's speaking of his kingdom authority over the kingdom of God and all of the citizens of heaven. Okay? So if you have voluntarily given yourself to Jesus, then you are one of his willful, one of his men who or women who have willfully acknowledged him as king. Particularly, the kingdom is the realm of salvation into which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Jesus Christ. What does childlike commitment mean? Does it mean you got to be immature? No. What does it mean by childlike commitment? Okay. Subjecting yourself to his authority. Yeah. I think it's just simple faith, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? He actually brought the little child into the midst of him, and he said, if you have faith like this little child, then you can enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, so this is what our statement of faith is saying, that those who are part of his particular kingdom in the realm of salvation, into which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Jesus Christ, Christians ought to pray and to labor that the kingdom may come and God's will be done on earth. The full consummation of the kingdom awaits the return of Jesus Christ in the end of this age. So what does that word consummate mean? It's bringing it all to fullness and completion, right? Coming together. All right, so let's go ahead and start looking up the scriptures. And so the way we've been doing this is if you see a scripture and you get it looked up and you want to read it out loud, and you're just let the first one who finds it start reading. So Genesis 1:1. Very good. You guys did a good job on that. You were in unison too. All right. Isaiah 9:6-7. Okay, so could everybody hear her? She was a little quiet. So do you guys remember this scripture from this morning? We just read this, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yep, Steve wants to read it too, so we'll let him read it. Thank you, Rachel, but you need to speak up whenever you're going to read, okay? All right. Well, you can sing it as long as we can understand you. Hallelujah. Well, very good. And one more verse, verse 7. zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. All right. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Amen. All right, Matthew 3, 2. All right. Talking about the kingdom, isn't it? Right there. What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has come in Jesus whenever he was there, right? And even John the Baptist, this is him speaking, was speaking of that time because it had come. All right. Matthew 4, 8 through 10. Verse 23 of the same chapter. Amen. There's a lot said about the kingdom of God here, isn't there? All right. Matthew 12, 25 through 28. So, by what spirit did he cast them out? That's right. He took care of it by the Spirit of God, and so surely the kingdom of God has come upon us. All right, let's look at 13, 1 through 52. That's a long one. It was a pretty long passage, but it was a very descriptive passage, wasn't it? And it really helped us to get a lot of information about how the kingdom of God works and how things are going to look like, you know, that everybody's prospering together at the same time. But there's going to come a day and a time whenever those who are not walking with Jesus are going to be separated away from those who are, right? And with the wheat and tares, he's speaking of a weed called darnel here is what the actual Greek word that's used there. And this weed looks just like wheat when it's growing until it's fully mature. And so there's no way that you can tell the difference between it and wheat, just in its early stages. And so he's using this as a description that they would understand. That you know, we're just going to have to wait to see how it all plays out, right? And so I think this is one of the most wonderful descriptions of the kingdom. And I love how it ends with these descriptions about, you know, the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field. You know, what are these? What is the pearl of great price? It is the kingdom of God. It's to have a relationship with Jesus. He is the pearl of great price, isn't he? And he is that treasure that's hidden in a field, and it's worth selling everything else to go get it, right? And I think these are very good descriptions of how important it is for us to know Jesus. Man, what an amazing exposition there. So let's go ahead and move on to 25, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. So there it speaks of, very clearly, everlasting punishment and eternal life, right? And now there's a big movement within some types of churches that want to say that they don't believe hell is eternal. Well, what did Jesus say? There's multiple times where he explains it that way. And then when we get to the book of Revelation, it also shows us that. So I think that's just a tool of Satan, and I'm thankful that they're using scriptures that make it very clear that hell is eternal just like life is eternal in the kingdom. So let's look at chapter 26, verse 29. This will be the last one in Matthew. That's something to look forward to. That's what we're looking forward to when we do the Lord's Supper together, isn't it? All right. So let's look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. Amen. All right. And then Mark 9, 1. That's an interesting statement as well. And some would say, well, that seems to be talking about Jesus' second coming. A lot of folks feel that way. But in reality, many of those who were standing there with him actually saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain, didn't they? And so I think that's what that event is speaking of. All right. So let's look at Luke 4:43. And then 8:1, Luke 8:1. All right, now Luke 9:2. So what's our job today, do you think? You think it's still similar to that? Proclaim the kingdom of God, right? All right. 12, 31 and 32. Isn't that good news? It isn't like he's trying to withhold the kingdom from his children, right? It's his good pleasure to give it to us. And so we have nothing to fear. All right. 17, 20 through 21. That's right. In fact, they were experiencing the kingdom in its fullness just being in the presence of Jesus, right? So what's awesome is when we receive Jesus, it isn't like we got to sit around and wait to die to begin to experience the kingdom blessings. We can experience them the minute that we begin, the very second that we begin to start a relationship with Christ. All right, so let's look at 23:42. Luke 23:42. Amen. And we remember that this is in connection with the thief that was on his right, correct? And that one actually was proclaiming him as being the king, showing faith. And look at what Jesus says next. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So what's his ultimate kingdom fulfillment going to be like? Paradise. Isn't that awesome? What a good one to look up there. All right. So let's jump into John 3:3. Got to be born again to see it, right? Well, I experienced that very profoundly. I couldn't see it, and whenever I became a Christian, I gave my life to Jesus. It was amazing how he opened up my spiritual eyes. All right, John 18, 36. That's an important thing as well, right? He didn't come to like save the Jews from the Romans, did he? He actually came to save his people from their sins, correct? And so that's why he didn't just unleash angel armies to be able to cure all the problems at that point, because that wasn't really the point. All right, let's look at Acts 1, 6 through 7. Acts 17, 22 through 31. Areopagus. Let's look up Romans 5:17. Yeah. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. That's good news. Colossians 1:13. All right, Hebrews 11:10. Amen. So no matter how hard it gets, let us never be ashamed to profess that He's our God, because He's preparing a good place for us. Amen. All right, and then Hebrews 12:28. Amen. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. Man, that's a good one, isn't it? All right, let's look at 1 Peter 4:13. All right, Revelation 1:6. Amen. All right, and also verse 9. All right, and then 5:10. So you're part of the kingdom, and not only that, you're priests and kings. All right, 11:15. Amen.
2.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, chapters 21 through 22. So we'll read the last two chapters of Revelation. Okay. The tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. There, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right, and that concludes our study for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the collection of scriptures being done kind of all together. And I really am excited about the kingdom of God. I hope you are too. I'm excited that the kingdom of God lives in us in a sense. And I'm excited that there's even more of the fulfillment of it that we will realize in the future. So may we look forward to that and live for that each and every day. Amen. So So whenever times might get a little difficult, you remember, Jesus said he's gone to prepare a place for you, that where he is, we may come also. And so let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Who would like to close us in a word of prayer tonight? A volunteer?